Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettiner, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society, to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons.
Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is Shoshana McCollum, who is the longtime editor of the Fire Island News. Fire Island News was recently purchased by Schneps Media, which owns about 60 or 70 different publications, including Dan's papers. So I thought it would be, since we're out in the Hamptons, I thought it would be good to have a little talk with you. I wanted to know, first of all, how you came to Fire Island. I guess you weren't born there. So what is the story? Where were you from? Where are you from originally?
I am not a Long Islander nor a New Yorker. I was originally born in Danvers, Massachusetts. That's where I grew up. And I came to New York to go to college at the School of Visual Arts, which is based on 23rd Street.
What was your plan? What was the, you said, was there a job or something you were looking to learn about?
I had dreams of being a painter, but you know, dreams are shaped in part by reality. After graduating, I developed an interest in museum studies and curatorship, and I went to the School of Visual Arts Alumni Job Placement Center, and there was a posting while I was in between jobs for, it simply said, curator position at a gallery on Fire Island, free housing for the summer.
Can't beat that. Had you ever been there before?
I really had not. I really knew nothing about Fire Island at that time. I had lived in Brighton Beach. I was living in Brighton Beach, which I loved. And I thought, well, it would get me out of the summer heat and maybe it would be fun and it would be on my resume. Give it a shot. And the shot worked. I landed the job, and it was a very, very rustic cottage. It was a tiny gallery, but I grew to like the place, and I met my future husband at the job, and what was supposed to be a transition position ended up being my permanent homestead. That's how it is in a nutshell.
What did you like about Fire Island? Did it remind you of growing up in New England in some ways?
In some ways it did. I was on the very base of Cape Ann, and that's more like the North Shore. It's very rocky over there. But the beach is the beach, and I was like, oh my God, I've never seen sand like this. I've never seen ocean like this. It was the same yet different. And there was something about, very many seaside communities are awfully quaint, but this one was a little sassy. This one, you know, being New Yorkers, people weren't afraid to say what they wanted to say. And it was, it had a lot of character. What can I say? That's what drew me in.
How did you get connected up with the Fire Island News?
Well, that was also a several-step process. During my years at the Ocean Beach Historical Society, I developed a friendship with a gentleman named Warren McDowell, who was the publisher of a publication that doesn't exist anymore called The Fire Island Tide. At the time, it was the direct competitor of Fire Island News. And after I married and left the Ocean Beach Historical Society. I was working as a records clerk in the Ocean Beach Village Hall. He said he was looking for a new columnist. And so in the year 2000, I became the columnist of the Ocean Beach Seaview column in Fire Island Tide. I held on to that position for quite a few years. But it was, you know, who got married, who had a baby. It was that kind of column. And I enjoyed it. But I left Ocean Beach Village Hall in 2004. And in 2005, I was hired by Linda Luzzi, the editor at that time of Islip Bulletin and Suffolk County News. And that's where I got my hard news experience. I really, really enjoyed that a lot. I started.
At the Suffolk County News in Sayville?
Yes, yes.
So
yes.
This was in the off season. You were on the mainland then.
I was living year round on Fire Island. My late husband, John, he had already lived on Fire Island for close to 30 years when I met him, and he wasn't going anywhere. So I became an instant year round resident.
Hey.
And the Islip Bulletin publication appreciated having a correspondent on Fire Island. It was of value to them. And I was suddenly chasing off-season stories, off-season crime. One thing that can happen on beach resort communities, as you know, is some people see vacant homes and think it's an opportunity to shop. So...
a good word for that. But it must be a tremendous change from winter to summer on the island. It revolves around that whole
yes,
time.
Yes, it does. Yes. Yes, very much so.
What are the people like, and what are the big issues on Fire Island then and I guess over the years, and what stands out?
Well, the constant is always the ocean and the topic of beach erosion, which is always a concern. The skirmishes of the day will come and go, but what brings the people is the ocean. The concern is the ocean, and it is, and of course the bay too, and that's the lifeblood of the place. It is our tourism commerce. It is the job opportunities. It's all of it. But the pace is so brisk all summer long. It's a true tourist town, and it can't go at that momentum all year round. When it stops, and then it's like the dormant state. It's like the trees, losing their leaves and going into their mode to get ready for the following spring, and that's the cycle of life here.
So, but then the Fireland News is published beginning, it's a summer publication. Is that correct? It's not year round.
Well, yes and no. After the Islip Bulletin, I eventually joined Fire Island News. I became the editor of Fire Island News in 2015. And at that time, it was indeed a true summer publication. Much like the rest of Fire Island, it started up in Memorial Day weekend. The presses stopped Labor Day weekend. And somewhere in, but things had changed since the days of the Fire Island Tide and the other. There was now social media. So we had a Facebook page and other social media pages that were still being tapped into in the off season when necessary. And our website. And it meant if there was breaking news over the winter, I put up a special article. And eventually I said to the owners at the time, and it took several appeals, I said, we're never going to get accepted by the New York State Press Association unless we start really making an effort to put news up year-round. So we got accepted into NYPA at the end of 2018 or early 2019. And that's when we were on a regular schedule. So even though the papers weren't printing, there were still articles because there was still news to report in January.
Mm-hmm. So it was online then.
Yes.
And, How many communities are there? A separate, what is it, about seven or eight of them over a stretch of 20 miles or so? Is that
Oh,
about?
no. The island is about 32 miles long. It's only about a mile wide at the widest point. And there are 17, what we will call recognized communities by Fire Island National Seashore. Recognized being a key word because those were the communities when President Lyndon Johnson signed the enabling legislation to declare Fire Island a national seashore. The communities that existed within, they said these are the communities and no more communities come after this. And certain communities that they were borderline, they were very small. Certain communities disappeared. There was a community called Skunk Hollow. It no longer exists.
What happened to it?
Towards the east, there's the Otis Pike Wilderness Area. It's the only federal wilderness area in New York State. And there were several small, I would have to call them enclaves, where there were a few houses, but some of them slowly vanished by eminent domain, but other communities are still there, and they're called National Seashore Territories. And Oakleyville, for instance, right to the east of Point of Woods, is not one of the 17 recognized communities, but it exists, and Fire Island National Seashore knows they're there. There's a few others that I could name at the top of. There's one east of Water Island. There, it's called Spatangaville. There's only two or three houses there, but it exists. Their existence is a precarious one. It's at the will and pleasure of Fire Island National Seashore.
Is there cars allowed out driving along the shore, or is it all? How does that work?
It's extremely regulated by the federal government. You can't just not. Yes, there is some driving on Fire Island off season, but not. You can't just come over here and take a pleasure ride. In the summer, most people, even people with driving permits, have to put, you know, residents have to put their keys aside and get on the ferry like everyone else. That it's the great equalizer.
Yeah.
The only vehicles you will see in the summertime are essential service, or, you know, they're essential to exist. It's the fire trucks, the ambulances, the police. Those are the only vehicles you'll be seeing.
How do people get around it? I know they haul wagons, but do they also, do they have things like golf carts?
Yes, yes. Wagons are, of course, are iconic on Fire Island. And you'll see wagon t-shirts, wagon key rings, wagon hats. Oh my, you'll see. If you are into wagons, go here. But certainly there are, yes, golf carts that are charged by batteries. And then there are gas-powered vehicles called mules, and those are actually utilized by the fire departments out here a lot, because some of the communities, the boardwalks are too narrow to accommodate a standard vehicle. So there's a lot of unique hybrid vehicles out here for fighting fires that are often designed by the fire departments themselves, where they've adapted mules and other small off-road vehicles to become firefighting equipment. And they're custom designed and very interesting and very unique to this place.
How did Fire Island get its names? Was that to ward off shipwrecks?
How Fire Island got its name is a matter of debate, Dan. It depends on who you ask. There's several conflicting theories. Yes, some people believe the fires that were lit either by Indian tribes who would come to the island to whale, or if there were signal fires being lit to for various reasons by other individuals. Some people believe that there is a tradition both on Fire Island and other coastal communities up north in Canada, Nova Scotia, wherever, a tradition called wreckers, where they would light deceptive signal fires to lure ships aground and then loot them. Most communities, most islands aren't proud of this history at all, but Fire Island, oddly enough, embraced it a little. And that's, again, because we're a New York, we're an island out in New York. Yeah, we, again, it's a very salt, we're different. But though there's other theories that say it's simply a mistranslation of the old Dutch maps.
I see.
And they had, they're at the, you know, Fire Island, it's even, it, the there's inlets that open and close. So sometimes it's not quite one island. Sometimes it's some, right now out east, there was a breach. There's a breach that it's technically two islands right now, as long as that breach is still going. In the early part of the 20th century, it was really more of a peninsula. It was, there was a small strait that bridged it to around the area of Quag, I believe. So the island changes shape. And at the time when the Dutch were in possession of New York State, the Dutch map read four islands. And the Dutch word for four looks a lot like the word fire. And so as the English took over the state of New York, the name just sort of, it's a derivation of the word. So it, or it, so it, the slang became fire. But there's people who will get in arguments about which is the correct theory, but I believe all the theories is kind of fed one another, and they're all to some degree true.
Well, you have written a book, as I mentioned, about the history of Fire Island, and I wondered what stands out in the book to you that you found the most interesting historical information about the place.
Well, I've written two books, actually, not to toot my own horn, but the first one is Fire Island National, but Beach Resort and National Seashore, which was released in 2012. And it was, the publisher asked me to write a follow-up that was released in 2014, simply called Fire Island. That was to commemorate the 50th anniversary of Fire Island National Seashore, as well as the upcoming centennial of the National Park Service in 2016. So, but back to your question, what stands out? As you're working on a book, I know you've written several. It's an adventure of learning what you don't already know.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that adventure included, I've always been enthralled by the political framework that lies under the communities. And there's so many layers out here. That there's a federal layer, there's a town layer, there's the county layer. It's like an onion. And even though that's a drier part of the history, it's so woven into the fabric of what we do here every day and many of the concerns we have.
But so Fire Island is, other than it being an official national seashore, it's not a village. It's not. Is it incorporated?
There are two incorporated villages on Fire Island. One is the incorporated village of Ocean Beach, where I live. And the other is the incorporated village of Saltaire. Saltaire was the first incorporated village on Fire Island, actually. It was established in 1917. Ocean Beach followed in 1921.
Oh, so they were, those were people really getting away from the world, because the railroad came out there about 50 years earlier, I guess, for a long time. But nevertheless, it was quite a trip for the summer. Well, thank you for taking the time to be on the podcast. They run 20 minutes long. I hope to see you soon, and I'll come out there and have a cup of tea with you.
We're going to have a rocket fuel at CJ's. Are you kidding? Oh.
So we'll talk again. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.